Cool. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Pod Between Worlds. We're your hosts, Steve and Ollie. And today we're going to talk about our favorite or best moments of The Mandalorian Season 1, since Season 2 is coming in hot. Welcome, everybody. There hasn't been a lot of news circulating around in terms of Star Wars. I mean, there's been we've had a lot of the Mandalorian stuff that we covered in a previous episode.
We have the same news every day.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, so basically the rumor right now is the active rumors, the trailer's going to drop any day. We have no idea when.
Yeah.
Some speculate that it's going to be the Mulan premiere on Disney Plus. I have a hard time believing that.
Wasn't that last week?
Reserve that.
I think that came out on Friday. So they missed that. Maybe Monday Night Football is the other thing I've heard. I think it's just you're just gonna get. We'll get like an Instagram post from Star Wars that it's gonna happen. Like that's what all of them have either like a commercial or something, and we'll get during the day that'll say like, "Hey, that's why a lot of people were like that NBA night. They're like, it's not happening because." Every time there's a trailer dropping in a sports event, they advertise it that day. Like, hey, make sure you watch this for the Star Wars trailer to drop. You know what I mean? So we're going to find out that day, and then we'll know that it's coming out that night, most likely.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, the Mulan thing was a little bit weird just because it's like, why would you premiere that when you would have to pay $30 to see that movie?
And it's on Disney Plus. So like, you're like, those are the customers you already have, right? So like,
so it just makes sense.
Yeah.
So, so we haven't seen, I haven't seen from, particularly like, Kessel Run Transmission or LRM or any of those guys. I haven't seen anything, in terms on Twitter. Last week they said something big was going to happen. Nothing big happened. So I have no clue. Me personally, I have no clue what's gonna happen. I think Ollie's dead on. It's probably gonna be on during football. That's the most likely scenario.
Yeah, I don't see it being random, like on like a random night. So if you're gonna talk about sporting events and they haven't done it on a basketball game, I don't think the basketball games are getting crazy ratings. And there's no like marquee game coming up. But there's also no marquee game coming up, right? Where you figure probably a lot of people are going to watch the first Monday Night Football game. Have we even confirmed? I'm just guessing. Like next Monday, because the season starts Thursday, but next Monday is a Monday Night game, Week 1. There's got to be, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would be my guess. Makes sense. They've launched it on Monday Night or Monday or Sunday Night Football. Which one's ESPN? Monday Night.
Monday Night. Yeah.
Yeah. They launched. Was it one of the movies or something else? They've done on a Monday Night.
Sunday night is ESPN.
Okay.
Monday night. Sunday night's NBC and Monday night.
That's how it used to be. I was just confirming that Monday it's the nights. Same thing. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. I'm just saying that because they've done that before and they've done it on a football game halftime. So it just seems to make sense to me. It seems like at this point, it's a pretty big deal. It's not like it's like Star Wars Rebels, like where only a certain crowd's watching it. Like this is a big deal for Star Wars, like maybe even arguably like bigger than their movies at this point. But so I can't see it being random. I can't see it being like tomorrow we get a tweet in the morning that's like, hey, it's Wednesday night. We're just going to the trailer's coming out today.
I still think it's a bit. It's very interesting because Star Wars, I think your Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be necessarily a sports fan per se. I mean,
I think that's why they do it, because they know all the Star Wars fans are going to watch it anyways. I would say like a huge percentage of people that are like maybe not diehard fans, but pretty big Star Wars fans probably consume the trailers. Even if they come out on Monday Night Football, they probably consume it first or definitely more, obviously. But I would say a lot of percentage consumes it more on YouTube once it drops. You know what I mean? Like I've even done it before. If I was away and just couldn't watch the game or whatever, I'll just wait for them to say like, oh, it came out. It's on YouTube 1 second later and you can watch it 100 times. So like I think it's just a general marketing thing that like the trailer's gonna get seen a bunch, right? So you might as well put it on one of your, if anything, you could even look at it as it has nothing to do with the audience there. They're just trying to get eyes on the game, more eyes on the football game, because people will tune in just for the Star Wars. You know what I mean? So like you could probably look at it both ways. I don't think it really matters. You know what I mean? Like maybe you get new people that are like, oh, that looks cool, like who are football fans. But like Star Wars is such a weird marketing thing. Like it's not some obscure thing. Like every, even if you're not a fan, everyone's heard of it. You know? It's kind of like marketing Pepsi and Coke. You're not marketing it to like, oh, wow, that sounds good. You're marketing it just to like, you know what I mean? Stay top of mind. People already know what it
Brand
is. Yeah.
recognition.
So
Brand
I don't think
recognition
it,
and rare
I think it
brand
just makes
awareness.
sense. The Monday night thing makes sense to me because like it's within a decent time frame. They've already done it on a Monday Night Football and they own the broadcast, the network that it's on. So like it helps both. So that would be my guess at this point.
Yeah, we'll see.
I think the bigger thing that I wanted to
Yeah, it
mention
makes sense.
is more that I think the thing, like, because everyone, when it didn't happen the day that everyone rumored it was like, oh my God, like, it's behind now, like, because it's coming out in October. I think we all mentally did the thing where, like, they didn't say October 30th right away, but everybody goes, it's coming out in October. So it's August. So you're like, it's 2 months away, but it's coming out. And then when they release, it's coming out on October 30th. That's almost like the mindset of when you're like, hey, it's releasing in November. Because it's fully, you know what I'm saying? Like when people say, even if you think it's going to release at the end of the month, when someone says, hey, this is dropping in January, right? When you do like the month countdown, you do it for January 1st. So when you get close, like we were like, oh, it's coming out in October, and it was the end of August, and people were like, oh my God, a trailer hasn't dropped yet. Like, what are they going to drop it a day before it comes out? But then they're like, oh, it's coming out October 30th. So it's a full month behind your projection. So I think we're well in the range now.
I think people forget though too, this is season two. This isn't season one.
Right.
Season one, they had to draw out more excitement for because that was the
Yep.
premiere of a new show. So they had to have that marketing campaign out in front months ahead because they were like, we need to get eyes on. We gotta have
Right.
everybody see it.
Couldn't you even
Now
argue
that
that
it's
not
established,
marketing
it's
it would
not
get more eyes
excited.
on it now? Like, because people would talk about it so much, they'd be like, holy shit, there's been no trailer. What's
I don't
going
think
on?
so.
No? Like, people would think it's going to be a
No, because I
disaster.
think no, I think the reason why you don't approach it that way is because well, you do have that. You have the rumor mill, which there was rumors that oh, there was big problems on the set, which then
Right,
other
then they came out
people
and they're like,
said
nope.
that's not true. So like there's more bullshit. So then you have that happens, and then also it doesn't make sense because then you're purposely choosing your audience as okay, this is just diehard Star Wars fans. That's it. You're not even gonna throw it out there at people that are on the edge, people that are like, oh, I like the show, but I'm not like I need to know everything, or you know,
Right.
like us. They're not like that. So I think that's actually a very big mistake. If they're trying to appeal to the masses,
Yep.
that's not the right approach. You need to, especially these days, you need to keep things right of mind, right of sight, because people are so ADD and they want everything like that. If you don't do it, then people forget about you. I mean,
Top of mind, top of sight,
it's top of the mind. Yeah,
top of mind.
whatever, same thing. Yeah, my bad. But like it, but that's one of the issues with marketing today is that the minute that you don't, you know, put anything in front of people, they're just gonna forget about you because
I
they're on to
guess.
the next thing. They're on to the new
I
thing.
just feel
It's
like with
they want
Star
that
Wars
instant
and some of
gratification.
these bigger IPs now, because there's just so much negativity towards everything, like you could almost not market and that would be marketing, because people would like, I know it's not a necessarily a good thing, but like if you know you have a good product, so you could care less if people are freaking out, like it almost would stir up more of a, you know what I mean? Like in a way, I know you wouldn't do it because it's just like, I guess it has the chance to backfire, but to me it's like Star Wars would be the place you could do it, you know? No one doesn't know this thing's coming out that has any interest. And if all of a sudden there's no trailer and people start freaking out, you'll get some of the non-fans, I think, would be like, oh my God, is this going to be a disaster? Maybe I should check it out. It would be like a weird anti-marketing thing, but I don't think they're going to do that. I was just bringing it up
I don't
as a
think.
conversation piece. That's.
Yeah, I think Lucasfilms too at this point. So if you were going to use that approach, I feel like it's not an approach you want to take, especially after
Yeah,
the
maybe do
ensuing
it on the
trilogy and how
upswing,
people
like when
reacted
stuff's
to
going
it.
well.
Yeah, I wouldn't do. I wouldn't do that right now. Because I gotcha. Again, you just had that rumor last week that people were like, oh, there's big problems on the set. Right. And it's like...
And people could not like it. That's
another point. Yep. Yeah. You know, the trailer might suck. We might see the trailer and be like, wow, this is literally just like 30 seconds of Mando and Baby Yoda. And
right.
That's it. Nothing really that exciting.
I'm almost kind of hoping they don't show anyone just so people freak out.
Oh God, I don't want to even be
like if there's a trailer and Ahsoka is not in it, people are gonna lose their mind.
Yeah,
and I kind of want to see that.
Diehards, I would say. But see, that's the other thing too. That's the other issue with. If you're going to just appeal to this diehard Star Wars fans, you're going to leave out the people that are like, there's going to be people that are going to see this trailer, say Ahsoka's in it.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, who the fuck is this person?
Yeah, but I've
seen Clone Wars.
Like, I think that's good. I think that's what they don't do enough of. And that's what Mandalorian is now hopefully going to do. I think that's what that's exactly what the sequel trilogy did wrong, is they were afraid of that. They were afraid that some casual fan wouldn't know a character that you put in and then would somehow and I don't want to go too down this rabbit hole, but my simple point is I think the view of that was they took the wrong interpretation, right? I think they took it as, oh, we put, like, just make one up, like Ahsoka's in Rise of Skywalker, right? Or Thrawn is, right? You put him in and then some casual fan goes, what the fuck? The problem is, I think more of your casual fans, especially if it's a character like that, because the big fans will freak out. And I'm just talking about trailer, not even in the movie, but like the trailer, right? I think that's a good thing. I think they thought that was a bad thing. I think that's an excellent thing, because I think what happens most of the time, and you won't see it on Reddit and all the, like, in the YouTube, where like there's a lot of negative energy about it. But like, I think what would actually happen is because I'll just take it from my point of view in Marvel. If I'm watching a Marvel trailer with you, right? Like, I like Marvel, but I'm not into it. I don't know a ton of the history of, like, it's just not my thing, right? I enjoy the movies. I enjoy like X-Men and stuff like that, but I don't know a lot of the history. I don't know some of these bad guys. So if I'm watching a trailer with you of a new Avengers movie and there's somebody that like kind of appears in the background or does one of those things where like after you think the trailer's over, it like ends on some silhouette of a guy, right? And I don't know who that is. And I'm like, who the fuck is that? And you're like, oh shit, that's fucking this guy. It actually makes me excited, and I'm probably going to go Google that guy the goal would be like I buy a comic to read about that guy. But like, that's what I think would happen, that if you put someone in that, like if Ahsoka's in the trailer, I think it's silly to think that a casual fan will go, who the fuck is that? And then not explore it if everyone else is like, this is going to be so awesome. Ahsoka's in it. Like, I think that's good. You know what I mean? I think they missed that in the sequel trilogy, is that they were afraid that was a bad thing. You know what I mean?
We're going to get that. Do you think we're going to get that reaction from the trailer now?
What?
Now that people have been talking so much about it, that now people are going to be like, oh, Ahsoka's in the trailer. Oh, that's cool.
Well, I think
we're going to get that reaction.
Yeah. So I think there's
holy shit.
Yeah. I think it's tough. I'll admit this. I think it's tough for us to gauge that because we're so involved with it that I've heard and known the Ahsoka rumors, and obviously we know who Ahsoka is, so we've heard these rumors forever. We obviously know, we're very right, but I'm saying we've heard these rumors that Ahsoka was going to be in it for a long time, right? And me and you both are like intimately aware of Ahsoka's presence in canon. We've read the books, like we know who she is, right? Like we have a vested interest in seeing Ahsoka. So for us, while it'll be cool to see Ahsoka in the trailer, we won't be surprised. You know what I mean? Like, we'll be like, nice, she's in it. Good. Like, that's going to be my reaction, right? And a little bit of like, how does Rosario Dawson look at, like, how do they, not even her, I just mean, like, how do they make the live action Ahsoka look, right? But in terms of, like, what you're saying, yeah, I'll be more like, okay, cool. Like, I'm not going to be like, oh my God, Ahsoka. Like, because we've heard of it. You know what I mean? I do think maybe if there's some, I here's the thing. I got long-winded there for a second. My point is, if you're a casual fan, but like maybe you know of Ahsoka, like Rebels was your thing or Clone Wars was your thing a little bit, you know what I mean? But you're more casual. I don't know how much of the fan base is in a range that's considered ca casual, and do those people go on Reddit? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not, to go back to like a Marvel comparison, I would call myself a casual Marvel comparison. I am not on the Reddit for the next movies, right? So, like, unless you told me,
It's been
I may
on,
not know.
it's been all over Instagram and stuff. People have been sharing that stuff all over the
Right, but
place.
that's even more my point. I don't really follow people who are Marvel people. You know what I mean? So if it, but I still consider myself a casual Marvel fan. So I just don't know if there's casual Star Wars fans out there that enjoy most of the stuff that's out there, but they're also not following Star Wars scoop people on Instagram. You know what I mean? So maybe they aren't, maybe they've heard it. But if you're not intimately into like looking at all this stuff, maybe it's just kind of like in the back of your mind. And when you see her in the trailer, you're like, oh shit, Ahsoka's actually in it. You know what I mean? Like, I think we've been pounded over the head because we read Reddit every day. We do this like all the
Think a better
time.
example would be Game of Thrones in this, because Marvel, I mean, Marvel, they didn't really have that, they didn't have that, like, oh shit moments with some of the trailers that, like, you might get with, say, like, if Ahsoka's in this one. Game of Thrones, though, hands down, I mean, every time they fucking showed the preview for the next episode, you're always like, oh shit, what was
Yeah.
that? Or like
I
in the
just use
trailers,
Marvel
you'd be like,
because
oh, what's
for
going on
me,
here?
I'm not, you're more into it than me. There was one specific example that I'm not going to come up with, but I've kept the general sense of it in my mind. That's why I use it. We did see a trailer or we saw something together and you were like, I think it may have been the end of when does the Collector come into play? Was that Guardians of the Galaxy or was that Avengers 2 or he's like in his shop and they're walking around.
That was
Benicio
Avengers
del Toro.
two.
Okay. At some point, I watched either that scene or something like that with you, and you were like, oh, that's so cool. There was this in the background, and you were pointing out stuff, and I was like, oh, I don't know what that is. And I did YouTube it and looked into it. So I would have never known what those things were. I'm not watching YouTube videos on what those things were, but you immediately were like, oh, I think that's this. And it's just a small example. Like, I know it's not the same thing. Like, I don't know that there weren't Reddit posts for 2 years before that movie came out saying, hey, the collector's gonna
Everyone
be
on
in it. I
Reddit.
wonder if they'll have this in the background. I'm just saying, for us, it's tough to gauge where that casual fan is. Like, how much are they following Reddit and Twitter? And to your point, maybe Ahsoka is so blown out at this point that they have heard it, and maybe Boba Fett's so blown out that they have heard it, but maybe Sabine and Cobb Vanth and some of these ancillary characters, you know what I mean? Maybe they're not like on the radar,
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And I wouldn't think they are. I know
if
they're deeper, but you know what I'm saying.
Those that that's more that's your hardcore Star Wars fan. That's
Yeah.
not gonna be your casual fan. But yeah, I mean it's I'm thinking back to the Marvel trailers. I'm not I never I shouldn't say never. There's only a couple of times I think I remember being like, oh shit, that's really cool that they're having that.
Yeah,
But I
maybe
don't
that was my point. Maybe it wasn't the trailers. Maybe it was watching the actual movie with you and you noticed
I
something
think
that I
game of
didn't.
I think it was more game. I do remember like Game of Thrones. Anytime there was a preview, anytime there was a trailer, I always went on the internet, whether it was Reddit, whether it was where forums were for Game of
Yeah.
Thrones. I always looked at that shit because I was like, oh, that's like what's going on here? How's this relate to the book? Blah blah blah, all that shit.
Oh, okay.
Because that was more like we have no idea what's going on. It was
Gotcha. So
more
maybe
like a
that's a good
surprise.
example then, because like I read all the books of Game of Thrones and I was
I
into
did
it,
too.
but I didn't do the Reddit. So when I saw the previews, if I didn't catch specifically, if I was like, oh, I wonder who that is, I would be surprised the next episode because I didn't go looking for it. You know what I mean? So like maybe there are people like that, you know what I mean, that are fans of Star Wars, they know who Ahsoka is, but they're just not on Twitter. They're just not looking at this shit. They're just like, when the trailer comes out, I'll watch it. They're just not social media people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you're not, maybe you haven't heard it. I mean, you know what I mean? Unless you're friends with someone that's talking about it all the time. That's what I'm saying. Like, sometimes some of the things are gonna be tough for us to gauge what the casual fan's gonna have just because we don't make a living doing this, but we do this. Like, we're on Reddit, we're always looking into these things. So I know we're not shocked by much, and when we're shocked by something, it's like a bit like the Baby Yoda, it's really in the weeds. Like, it was really hidden. You know what I mean? Because like everything is rumored, whether we think it's right or not. Like, pretty much everything that comes out is rumored at some point. You know what I mean? And you take it with a grain of salt. So,
good
you want to get into the meat and potatoes of this thing?
Yeah, we'll keep talking Mandalorian. It'll be interesting to see where the trailer ends up, though. We'll see, I mean, that's the big thing at this point. But
I mean, I am excited to see it. I do want it ASAP, you know. But
hopefully we get some answers on where the season's going, and or we have some ideas of where it could go. So so we're gonna recap. So Mandalorian season one, we're gonna both discuss our top five in no order, what the top five moments of Mandalorian season one were, and there were plenty to pick from. I mean, I had a hard time trying to narrow it down to five, so I'm sure you did as well. So I guess you know what, I'll kick it off with you.
Oh, okay. So I think, I just think the best way to phrase this when we say top five, because this bothers me in all like people's top tens, just to give like, and we could have different things, like what top five means to me and like how I picked my top five, right? So for me, it was very like, what was the most geeky moments to me? So it's very lore based. Okay. So my top five is not like a cinematic amazement thing necessarily. So I just want to clarify, for me, when you hear me say these scenes, they were what, like, I was like, oh shit. Like, those were the things for me, right? Whereas someone may pick the top five just like most beautifully crafted cinematic scenes, you know, or most monumental scenes to the story. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whereas mine are like, just for me, like lore based things, most of them, right? So you want me, we'll just kick it back and forth. Is that how you want to do it?
Yeah, we can go one by one. So,
all right. So the first one I came up with, as I say that, it's kind of funny, because my first one is more just of like a general feeling, like awesome scene, was the Mando exit from when he took the baby Yoda back and the Mandalorians come to help him out on Navarro. And it's just like the bounty hunters versus the Mandalorians. Like, I thought that whole scene was awesome. Bunch of reasons. Excellent action, obviously, kind of the call that we see the Mandalorians stick together. We get to see the big guy in action. I had a ton of fun going back through that scene for my species of series for YouTube, because there was just scene after scene of all these bounty hunters that were completely different species. So that was awesome. So I've seen it a million times. And I just thought it was like good drama, good action, good everything, right? So that was one of my faves.
Well, that was also one of my favorite scenes, so I'll just, throw that out there.
Yeah, so why was it one of yours?
So I actually lean more towards on the moment. I felt like the emotion behind it, and the fact that you get to see it all in one eye shot. You get to see all of these Mandalorians and like all the different armors, all the different, basically all the different races and species that these Mandalorians come from. I mean, you're not seeing them with the Mandalorian armor, but like you have
all different clans stories, and stuff, and
clans. Yep. You have everything. You have all these different stories that are intertwined. That are just in that moment, they're going to help the Mandalorian and the child, and just the overall action in that scene too. Just it was seeing not the Siege of Mandalore. Well, we saw some of it. I mean, like that Mandalorian came out before the Clone Wars season 7,
right?
But like, we haven't had that kind of scene where all the Mandalorians unite together in a while. So it was good to see that kind of moment that all these different Mandalorians come together, and they're helping one of their fellow brothers out with, you know, the trying to escape Navarro and everything. So I thought that was a huge turning point, and I thought just they captured that right on the money. I mean, the emotion behind that scene, and just the action, and just all the stories and everything, all right there. It's just an awesome moment.
Yep.
All
right. So what's your next one? You go now.
Oh my. Okay. So
just in case we have the same ones, you get to explain yours first.
I have a feeling we're gonna have some of the same ones.
Yeah, but I'm sure.
So I'll do a different one. The AT-AT scene.
AT-ST. Yep.
AT-ST, sorry.
Yep.
That scene, again, it was probably one of the grittiest episodes for Mando, mm-hmm. in the sense of just like the pure fear out of that, just, and also like the whatchamacallit, I guess the cabin, I guess, of like the eyes and everything, they're just red and everything.
Yeah, it was cool
just
looking. Yeah.
Seeing that, it was really cool. It was a relic of the past from the Empire, so that was kind of a cool and nostalgia kick in a way. Like,
yeah,
they still have those out there, which is like, oh shit. So for me, that was really cool to see. And then just how the village banded together and took it down.
It was a cool fight scene. Yeah.
Too.
Yep.
You got to see her character and Mando, and they had to work together to bring that motherfucker down. So
yeah,
it was that was an awesome scene. Was that on your list?
Yeah, it was. And you know, like everything you said, for me, it some people probably roll their eyes, but as a kid, I loved the Battle for Endor movies, especially the one with the, I think they're like Sanguinese pirates is what they were called, or marauders, and they were led by the Dathomirian witch. But they were Klaatuinians in the Mandalorian episode, but they very much remind me of the those marauders from that. They're like creepy, you know what I mean, like thug type, and just that whole thing kind of reminded me, like it was kind of like the foresty part too when they came out. So that was really cool. I did that was probably one of the biggest like nostalgia moments for me, because it really reminds me of, I don't know why, but it felt like that kind of planet, just where it was like there was just something else going on, you know what I mean? Because like it even kind of took place away from the story. I know we added Cara Dune, and she was trying to escape. It was just kind of this other place that had its own thing going on, right? And Mando gets mixed up in it, and it very much felt like that to me, like the Forest Moon Endor movies with the family and the little girl at that point. Yeah, so I thought that was really neat.
I wonder if they'll revisit it in the second season.
That planet? I forget what that planet's called, but yeah.
All right. So what's next on your list?
Yeah. So another one that was kind of like a lore. So this one's a big time lore thing for me was. I thought it was super interesting, and one of my favorite scenes was the flashback. And I think it happens like two or three times, right? Where they flashback to the Death Watch helping him get out from like the attack with the B2 battle droid, the super battle droids, and I thought that was really neat. Because obviously, you know, it kind of, I don't remember what season it was in, but I mean what episode it was in, but it finally, like, to me that I remember, was the first like direct call to something we've seen in the past with Death Watch, something very specifically to Clone Wars, because I think until I think that
was seven.
Was it that late in the season when you see Death Watch?
Yeah, that was late. Because
it just especially coming from the movies that just don't hint on a lot of the canon stuff, it just felt so good to see something directly taken. Like, that was Death Watch. It was clear with, like, you saw the colors of the Mandalorian armor and how he got saved. And then on top of that, they played, like, the Mandalorian theme song in the background, but that version had, like, an electric guitar. Like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And that was just sick. So, and seeing the super battle droids looking in live action, like, super menacing, right? Because, like, now you go back and you watch the prequels and they're all just a joke. You know, in the Clone Wars, like, the Jedi it's just cannon fodder. I know those are the step up from the dummy B2 normal battle droids, but the super battle droids are, like, supposed to be scary, and, like, they looked creepy as fuck in that scene. And that's the first time I've seen them actually portrayed as super intimidating, you know what I mean? And probably because it wasn't like digitally done, or at least not like it was back in the day. It looked real and gritty and deadly. It looked scary as fuck.
Yeah, you don't get that from Attack of the Clones, I believe, is the where they showed up, because you don't
They just
see
look
them
more cartoony to
until
me,
the
even
movie
though they're
too.
digitally done, but yeah.
Yeah, they didn't. But like the most notable scene I remember is when Mace Windu is on the, what you call it, the balcony overlooking the arena,
Oh, yeah.
and all of a sudden those droids come out and start shooting at him, and it's kind of just like cool. I mean,
Right.
it's not bad scene. I'm just saying, like, it's not that you don't get that, like, oh fuck, these droids, oh
Right.
shit,
And reading a
like
lot of the
they're out
canon
and
and
so great.
stuff, especially the Padme stuff, like the droids were freaky. Like they were supposed to be. There was gritty stuff. They were like killing people. You know what I mean? Like that, like and in the prequels, the version they take was always when they're against the Jedi and the Jedi are saving the day. So I don't think we ever got that real
Oh, we
intimidating
always see
factor. They
that,
seem
yeah.
just like cannon fodder, you know what I mean? So to see that quick moment, where it, you know, and it doesn't, you only see it for a second, but I'm saying just the look of it, it felt intimidating, which I thought was neat.
I think it's I believe it's episode se it's either the end of episode se no, it's episode 8, because he gets hurt, and then
Oh, is
in the
that when it is
flashback is
the.
when, yeah, because he takes off his helmet, and you finally figure out why he's afraid of droids.
Gotcha.
Remember the
Yeah. No,
whole
I.
big deal.
Yeah. I just thought it
So
happened
that, I think
earlier,
that's
but.
what. So I guess I guess that flashback is on my list.
Oh,
But
okay.
not necessarily the flashback. Mine was just the scene of, particularly just him getting the helmet taken off. I
Okay.
mean, you just
Yep.
see Mando just completely vulnerable. I mean, it's the same scene. So, but it just shows, excuse me, it just shows so much right there. And he's just, you know, he's hurt. He's at the point of just like giving up, get out of here, and take care of Baby Yoda,
Yep.
you know, make haste. And, yeah, it just shows that kind of, it shows he's vulnerable the whole season, I think, in a way, because
Yep.
he has a certain softness towards Baby Yoda. But I think in that scene, you finally see, like, without his helmet, for one, you see that. And then you just see that he's like, he actually gives a shit.
Yeah.
Like, you first, in the first episode, he comes in and he's just like, oh, who's this badass? His space hunter, cowboy. Kind of, you get that persona from him. You're just like, this guy's super intimidating, and then you see him a little bit softened by, you know, meeting Baby Yoda and everything, and then going through that arc, I guess we could say.
Yeah.
And you have the couple filler episodes, and then you have the climatic battle and everything, and you start to see him caring. Giving a shit about, you know, Baby Yoda, he already has, but like you see it more there, and you just
Right.
see that he's, you know, he has a past. His parents, pretty much, you can assume they got killed
Yeah.
from that attack, and you know, he's just like everyone else. He has a past. He's got, you know, he has hurt in his past, just like everyone else is. He's flawed. He's not the perfect bounty hunter by any means.
Right.
He has his own issues. It's just it all comes to a head right there, and you just see it, and it's a very, very powerful scene. But going back and forth between the flashback and his conversation with the droid. So
Yeah,
yeah,
IG-11, yep.
definitely the IG-11. Yeah, so it's yeah, and especially too, you have the conversation right there too, where he's like afraid of taking the helmet off, and like he's like, I can't put it back on once, you know, you take it off, and IG-11's just like, well, you know, I'm a droid,
Right, right,
and
right. Nobody living is
it's
gonna
almost
see you.
funny.
Yeah.
So that's also a big moment too, because then he kind of puts his a little bit of trust in the droid, whereas the whole
Yeah.
season he's like, fuck droids, and then
Yep.
all of a sudden he's like, oh crap, I might as well put my life on the, you know, might as well trust him.
Yeah.
And so it's I think that's a big changing moment for him too, on top of that. So it's I think it's an under besides the flashback, because the
Yeah.
flashback is huge, but I think there's a way more depth to that scene that it kind of portrays. You have so much going on right there.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, that was also on my list. So I don't know, we should break that up into flashback and
No,
the scene
yeah, I
that
think those are
eventually
two
moves
different
on.
because I was specifically talking about seeing Death Watch and his rescue and seeing the B2 battle droid. Mine was very much about the flashback, and yours is about him growing as a character more. You know what I mean? And the now with the present time scene. Yeah. I think those are two different scenes, arguably. Yeah. Right. I think you're up.
So I don't. I'm up. Okay.
Yep, this
This
is
is my
four.
fourth one. So why am I drawing a blank? Oh, there we go. Episode two. The child uses the force
Okay.
on the
Mudhorn.
you'll probably know what the mutt and the mud horn. That completely changes the tone of the season right there. I think, hands down, because now you're like, why are all these people going after Baby Yoda? Damn. He uses the Force, and all of a sudden, everything changes right there. And not only that, you got the perspectives of, you got Mando, who's like, probably like, yeah, the Force is a joke, like, whatever. And then he sees that, and he's like, what the fuck? Like,
Yeah.
and so that was a big thing to me, and it was also telling because the whole like Jedi and everything at that point, like that wasn't a lot of people at that point believed it was kind of myth. And tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel like that was what
Yeah, it's in canon
that was.
it's murky. It's I think the basic excuse is that Palpatine pretty much wiped it out, tried to get rid of it, said the Jedi were heretics and just kind of like made anyone who wasn't directly related and saw it happen. Right. Dog needed to get out.
Sorry about
No, no worries. The yeah, I think it basically was just like Palpatine did a good job erasing it, making it the Jedi were crazy, and unless you had a direct thing that you saw and were around Jedi consistently, like a probably like a Bail Organa or someone like that, even if you got rescued once, you may still think it was just kind of like if something happened in today's world and you thought you saw something, but you're like, didn't really happen, but he rescued me, it's awesome. You know what I mean? So it pretty much went by the wayside, and anyone who didn't have direct relationships with the Jedi definitely thought like was definitely made that thought they were just like crazy people, heretics, like religious lunatics, you know what I mean? That thought they had powers and stuff. And then again, at this point is after Luke comes back, but again, Luke was one dude, right? So
At the
unless you
time, like
saw
he
it
was a thousand
directly,
Jedi and
right?
everything.
Unless you saw it directly, you probably thought there were more rumors that he was the ace pilot and he was awesome and like he was a Jedi, but like, you know what I mean? I think that's how it's pitched, even Han, right? I mean, I think that's the general consensus of the galaxy is that like the average person thinks the Force is much like maybe me and you think like magic is, you know what I mean? Like, oh, okay, people can do magic. Yeah, right, sweet. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's kind of how it is. So like, yeah, I think in that scene, like you're saying, I think Din Djarin sees it and goes like, oh shit. Like that was like super obvious. He's like, something's here. So like the bigger question would be, do they directly like did Din Djarin and did anybody like who sees those things, but specifically the Mandalorian, did he think when that happens, does he go, oh shit, that's the Force? Or he's still kind of piecing it together like, well, that was weird. And then he's like, maybe, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know that they immediately, not everyone's gonna see that and go, oh shit, the Jedi were real and the Force is real. Some may still be like, what was that? You know what I mean? So that'd be interesting to learn eventually too, if he, I think at this point he has an idea, but you know, like what his thoughts are on it.
So it's again another powerful scene. I mean, that, like I said, I think it sets the tone for the whole, I think that really sets the tone for the whole season. I mean, that because of that, it completely changes everything.
Yeah.
Right away, you are like every mission going forward from there, every perspective from there, especially from Mando, everything's going to change from that moment on. So
Yeah.
that's why I thought that, that was one of my favorite scenes. Seeing that, I was definitely wowed by it when it happened because I was like,
Yeah.
holy shit, that's what he has.
Right.
So that's on my list. So let me guess, that was on your list.
No, but I'll go with my Baby Yoda one. And I
Okay.
kind of have
All
like a split. So the scene that I would say is definitely just like the Baby Yoda reveal, right? The child reveal. Just because, like, again, we're pretty deep into rumors and stuff like that, and I've seen a lot of things, and that was just totally out of left field. I didn't see it coming. It was the end of the episode, so it was like, what are they gonna do with this? So that was really cool. I think my moment with Baby Yoda, to kind of just tack on to that, was actually, I think, the most interesting thing for the storyline going forward and the intrigue in the child is when he force choked Cara Dune. Because to me, that was specifically in there to hint at the point that he isn't aligned necessarily with the Force one way or the other right now. Like that his but like I think they got it the across with the, with even with him doing the Mudhorn and passing out, is that it's almost reactionary. It's not necessarily learned. Like, he's so powerful with the Force that if like something overwhelms him and he doesn't want it to happen, like he didn't want, Din to get hit by the Mudhorn and killed by the Mudhorn, like it just happens. Like, I'm not sure it's consciously he's like, oh, I'm just gonna stop the Mudhorn. I think it, like, the healing thing. He thought he was hurt, so he wants to heal him. You know what I mean? Like, I think this is all like this natural progression. So there's really, to me, it's saying like there's no training. He's not trained. This is all natural ability. And with that natural ability is like emotion and not perfect light side, right? Like he thought Cara Dune was gonna hurt Din, and he force chokes her, like, so. And then later I think he turns the flame around from the flame trooper and like blows up the flame trooper. You could argue that was, but like he was getting attacked, so that's a little different. But I think that scene where he force chokes Cara is very interesting going forward, because again, you're taking this, I think what they're pitching is this just super raw, very powerful Force user that's kind of the IQ or overall development of like a toddler. You know what I mean? So you're gonna have he may have to play with these temper tantrums and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Where the Jedi or the Sith got these kids young or halfway trained, but like most of these people got trained at some point. You know what I mean? To kind of use it and develop it one way or the other, whereas he's just kind of he's out there, and whatever he feels, if he feels threatened, like enough, something's gonna happen. You know what I mean? So that I think that's very telling to where the story's gonna go, because I think that's going to come up again, that he may not be this angel necessarily.
No, yeah, that's true.
So that
Was
was
that number
my
four for you or number
four.
five?
Yeah, so my five's a
Yeah, just
short
give me
one.
five
Yeah, my
because
five's a short one.
that was my five.
Oh, okay. My five's a short one. I mean,
Yeah.
I'll do the whole scene because it was cool in the TIE fighter and Mando like shooting the grappling hook to attach, and like that whole thing. I thought that scene was cool, the battle with Gideon and Din Djarin. But my fifth, like, the moment was like the Darksaber reveal. That was huge for me, for
Oh,
obvious lore reasons, right? But like,
wait, that was on my list.
all right, so you did four, so I'm going first on five, so we're talking about the
Okay.
same scene. So for me,
Yeah.
it's straight up lore based. It's just geeky. Like, that's a very historied and developed saber at this point, that we've only seen in cartoons, and has a very interesting vague past that we'd love to learn about, and it's just the coolest lightsaber out there. And so to see it in live action and know that we're going to learn more about it, and that it changed, not to mention the story implications of who had it last and how Gideon ended up with it. It just, that was like so much for a super nerd like me. Like that saber means so much going forward, going backwards, like everything. You know what I mean? So I guess the scene is cool in general, the whole thing, but like just the saber itself and that Gideon has it is just huge and was mind-blowing to me. And then the season ended.
Yeah, no, it's I mean, there's not much more I can add to that. I mean, that I think that was a perfect way to go send off into season two. It leaves a lot of questions now in reference to Mandalore and everything, the Night of a Thousand Tears and everything. So
Yep.
you know, it opens up a lot of avenues for where the story could go, and we've talked about this several times. And so it's and I think for fans of Star Wars that didn't watch the cartoons or maybe they barely watched maybe they just watched the movies and that was it. Like that scene also gave off a little bit of like a why does he have a black sword kind of like
Yeah,
initial like that
that's
shock
another
value
good
like well what
one
is
for
that?
like, yeah, I think people got more interested because it's very
Yeah.
unique and people ask right away who didn't know, like, what is that a lightsaber? Like, what is that thing? And, you know, or what is that black lightsaber sword looking, you know what I mean? But you're right,
Also,
it
Moff
does.
Gideon's a badass too.
Yeah, I mean, it adds a lot to like my Mandalorian video. I'm not gonna get too much into it, but I feel like it's an interesting one because I think for casual fans, it may make more sense because the Mandalorians, if you didn't watch Clone Wars, right? If you just watched the movies, the Mandalorian. So for the casual fan, I think it almost makes sense that the Mandalorians are kind of this like, there's not many of them. They're in hiding. Like that's easy to explain because like really, you've only seen Jango Fett, who's arguably a Mandalorian or not, and Boba, right? So if you haven't watched the cartoons and stuff, like, so like there's no real background. Even if you've heard of them or played like, you know, Knights of the Old Republic, you could safely assume just by watching the movies that the Mandalorians are like kind of maybe even like an extinct race, that there's only a few of them. So the Mandalorian makes sense. But like if you're really into it, it actually makes it more confusing because the Mandalorians were very much part of the Clone Wars, as much as they tried to stay out of it, but they were very much part of it and the show itself too. And then they're very much part of Rebels, and they get their. I had to explain it in the thing, and that's why I think it's so fascinating, this Night of a Thousand Tears. And like people, some people think that's part of the Siege of Mandalore. I don't think it's the same thing because there's this distinct gap of
I
like
don't.
the Mandalorians weren't like the Siege of Mandalore didn't end the Mandalorians. There were a ton of Mandalorians, not, you know what I mean? Like, sure, some died like in a war, but like there was a whole system. They didn't go anywhere. They were just under the Empire's control. And then they fought back in Rebels and regained their home world in a sense. And then we don't find out anything about them. So really, if you're into canon, the last thing you know is before A New Hope, Mandalore rebelled and they kicked the Empire out of their planet. And then all of a sudden, you know, 8 years later, I guess, because that's before A New Hope, but like 8 to 10 years later, all of a sudden the Mandalorians are like this, are like the Jedi. They're like, oh shit, you're a Mandalorian? I've never seen one. I didn't know you guys existed. It's like, well, what the fuck happened in that 8 years that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That isn't explained. Whereas if you haven't followed it, it's not as complicated. You know what I mean? But if you followed it, you're like, wait a minute, I just saw Rebels and they took back their whole planet. Like, how the fuck are they just like an extinct, you know what I mean, race at this point? So they have a lot of explaining to do, which is exciting because it would worry me if Filoni wasn't involved, but like he's basically done the whole Mandalorian thing to this point. So like I know there's a reason and a story behind it. I'd be worried if someone created this and then was like, oh yeah, the Mandalorians are like this rare thing, and you're like, dude, there's fucking there 8 years ago they were like a whole entire system of Mandalorians. Like, what are you doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But obviously he
It'll
has a
be
plan, so.
interesting to see. I mean, maybe there's going to be way more flashbacks this coming season. I mean, that's what
Yeah,
we
one of the bigger
all been
rumors now is
waiting
Anakin.
in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, that was a rumor a couple months ago. I don't know.
Yeah,
Again, it could have been just
I think there's a
because now they're
possibility
saying
to
he's in
spin,
Kenobi, so
right? I think there's an ability. I don't know if I love this, but I think there's an ability to actually have Ahsoka and Anakin in this and not have
yeah.
them now. Have Ahsoka and Anakin be in the flashbacks. Because she was very involved with in and out of Death Watch and Lex Bonteri and stuff like that. Like, so she, Ahsoka, I'm saying, had a lot of
Yeah.
interaction with Mandalore and the Mandalorians and the Siege of Mandalore and Maul, right? In the Siege of Mandalore. So like they're very much involved. So they could get away with maybe like having Anakin and Ahsoka just be in flashbacks and then just kind of feel out the water to then give Ahsoka the full show that takes place in the present, if you will. You know what I mean? I hope not. I hope she's in the actual show, like in the timeline going forward in the show. But they could do the flashback thing.
Well,
I should separate that. There will be flashbacks, but I hope Ahsoka is not only in the flashbacks, is what I mean.
Right. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we have no idea. Maybe, and yep. Like, till we get the trailer, we're not gonna know. So.
And it sounds like from a lot of the rumors, it sounds like the trailer may be, if she's in it, it may have been like a promotional only shoot. So we may see like a scene that's not actually gonna happen in the show. So. It'd be interesting.
Right.
I don't know how I feel about that, but.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they do that shit all the time. For
right.
Me, so,
no, I know. I guess mean, hearing about kinda... it first feels weird to me. That, you know what I mean? Like, I know that if that's what takes place, it's like, I know that that scene's not going to happen. It's just to introduce the character in the trailer. But it's a little thing for me. It's just.
Maybe. Well, then again, it's nothing. Nothing's confirmed.
Right. No, no. That's what I'm saying. It was a rumor. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, hopefully it is a scene that we see. I mean, it would make more sense, but I mean, they do that sort of shit all the time. But yeah, at this point, I mean, again, it's rumor. We have nothing's confirmed. Even Rosario Dawson is still not truly confirmed.
Right.
If we see that trailer and she's in it, that's confirmed. That is obviously because she's in the trailer, but they have not come out and said Rosario Dawson is on the Mandalorian.
Gotcha. Well, cool.
I think that wraps up this episode. I mean, that's we got a solid top five there.
Yes, sir.
We pretty much had the same stuff for the most part, barring the Darksaber, which I thought I had on mine, but maybe I missed one. I don't know. But there, I mean, there was many more moments in this in season one that were definitely noteworthy. I mean, they were definitely up there too. I mean, there was one episode in particular, like the one that we thought maybe Boba Fett was coming back. Was it episode 5? I think it was.
Yep.
When
he goes up to Fennec Shand's, buddy.
Yeah. So like there was a lot of good scenes from that episode too. But I mean. And then obviously the jailbreak one, but you know, with the copycat Batman scene, but it's all good. I guess this wraps up the episode.
Sounds good.
Thank you all for joining us. As always, follow us on Instagram at the Padawans. We're also on all podcast streaming services, Spotify, iTunes, Anchor, Google, Overcast. You can pretty much find us anywhere. This will be airing on podcast services later this week. Also, we're on Twitch. If you're listening in, our Twitch channel is twitch.tv/thepadawans. We always live stream our podcasts, and then also we put them up on YouTube, which is also at the Padawans. So you can check out all our videos. Plus, Ollie just dropped another cool video, top 10 characters that could be in Mando
season. Yeah, kind of like that nobody's talking about. Yeah, like not Ahsoka and Boba Fett, like some more deep cut canon characters. Yeah.
Yeah, so check that video out if you haven't yet. It's definitely eye-opening. There's actually a few characters on there that I didn't really think about. So, and other than that, we'll catch you later.
Sounds good. Light up.